In your Bibles this evening to the book of Ephesians and the 16th chapter. We last week had begun dealing with verses 6 through 14, still under the same point. Consider what thy God hath done for you. I have, since being on that point, I've titled these, What Has God Done for You? What has God done for you? And considering this in Ezekiel, God wants him to remind them, Israel, Jerusalem, of their beginning. Remind them of their birth. And we would say today that if an infant was treated the way that we have described in this 16th chapter, that it was a despised birth. The child was not wanted. But he, before getting to that point, he tells them that their parents dwelt in Canaan. They were Canaanites. Said Abraham's father was an Amorite. And their mother was a Hittite of the sons of Heth, so to speak. And then we looked at their wretched condition after their birth. Their parents were of no special value, no special people. Where they came from was they were idolaters. They worshiped false gods. And then the wretched condition that they were left in after birth. They were described them as their navel not being cut. They were not washed. They were not, our text says, salted. They were not swaddled, wrapped in a soft cloth and cuddled, as an infant that is people delight in. Just had family recently, still are delighting in that great grandson of theirs. And then, if that wasn't enough, she was cast in to the wilderness. She was cast out to die, we would say. We last time got into verses 6 through 14, we said, but God. But God. Jerusalem's condition, Jerusalem's parents, is a symbol of our parents. Jerusalem's birth, a symbol of our birth. Our parents are sinners. We are born sinners. We looked at scriptures that talks about we come forth from the womb speaking lies. We're in the same deplorable and despicable condition that Jerusalem found themselves in as an infant. As we got to verse 6, and let's read verse 6 tonight. And when I pass by thee, or we could say, but God passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. God gave them life. God gave them life. They were about to die, but God said, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. God saved them. The description here is when they were in their blood. And we take that to mean in their birth blood, yet in their infancy, the navel not being cut. They weren't washed. They weren't swaddled. They were cast out to die. And God saved them. The Lord passed by and he saw them in that condition, and with his word, with the water, he washed them. His word is the water with which he washes. us and cleanses us and makes us clean. He said, basically in this statement, live, he said, I marked you for life. I purposed your life. I purposed you to live. We closed out that week's thoughts with Psalms 86 and verse 15. In fact, let's turn there, and that's where we'll begin this evening with that thought, Psalms 86. And look with me at verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious. We could read that, but thou art a God full of compassion, full of grace, full of long suffering, and plenteous in mercy. Oh, we get to that full of mercy. It says plenteous of mercy, overflowing with mercy. We that experience the grace of God, the fullness of His grace, and the fullness of His compassion and His long suffering. Oh, we know Him to be overflowing with mercy. Overflows with mercy today. And when I wake in the morning, behold, because of His faithfulness, His mercies are there in the morning. And they overflow on that day as well. What a great God. What a great Savior. And God here is telling Ezekiel, you remind them of this fact. You remind them of their parents. You remind them of their despicable birth. And you remind them that it's because of me they live. It's because of my grace. It's because of my mercy. It's because of my compassions that they live. Going on with that, tonight we want to consider those whom God looked upon before the foundation of the world. He looked upon with love. There are those before the foundation of the world that He looked upon with love. He passed by. His love was upon them. Not all mankind, but some of all mankind, His love was set upon them before the foundation of the world. Because of His love, flowing from His love, He chose to make them vessels of His mercy. He chose to make them vessels of grace. He chose to save their poor and wretched soul. He chose them unto salvation. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And this is a verse that we know, or at least you ought to know well. Verse 3 of Jeremiah chapter 31. And this here is concerning Israel, but it is applicable to the spiritual of Israel as well. It is applicable to all who are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Israel is saying through Isaiah, the Lord hath appeared, or through Jeremiah, excuse me, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me. When did the Lord appear of old to Israel? It's when they were down in Egypt. When the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he said, you go and deliver my people. He said, and you tell Pharaoh that I said, you tell Pharaoh that I am, that I am, said. And the process begins. That's when the Lord appeared old unto Israel, saying, Yea, I have loved thee. Yea, I, God, have loved you. Yea, I, Jehovah, have loved you. Yea, I, the ever-living one, the eternal one, the one who is full of grace and overflowing with mercy, the one overflowing with compassion, full of compassion. The sovereign God. The one who does as he pleases in heaven and in earth and among the inhabitants thereof. Yes. Yea, I have loved thee. Loved you who were horrible and despicable. He we're just seeing in Ezekiel what a beginning they had, how despicable their beginnings were. I've loved you, you who were nobody special. Your parents were nobody special. Your parents were godless and idolaters. Thank God. He said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now you know what that means. God loved them. God loved me. God loves you if you're His. Before the foundation of the world, with an everlasting love. A love, that everlasting love, and it has no beginning, and it has no end. Flowing from His love are all the benefits that we enjoy because of His love. It's an everlasting love. There is never a time, as far as God is concerned, that He's not loved me, that He's not loved Jerusalem, Israel. Never a time, as far as God is concerned, if you're His, that He's not loved you. He has loved you. And in time, you see, that love is eternal. That love is before the foundation of the world. And when the foundation of the world came, then came time. And in time, He manifested that love, His people. Thank God He did. And therefore, or because of that love that he had for us, which is an eternal love, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's in time. In time, God manifested that love, bringing us unto himself. He said, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And we read in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There it is. That his choosing us is based upon his loving us. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That was his purpose for Israel. That was his purpose for Jerusalem. He loved her before the foundation of the world, and he chose her to be his. He chose her to be holy and special unto himself, to be a light to the nations round about. Why did he choose you? Why did he save you? For the same purpose. For the same purpose that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, there's the how. By Jesus Christ, by his Son, his perfect Son, the perfect Lamb of God, God manifest in the flesh. Of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I don't think, maybe it's in this hymn book, but in any hymn book, and I know the song, you all might know it. We have a song, Accepted in the Beloved, Accepted Am I. Now, I don't think it's in this one either. But we have it over at the house. So, but blessed song, and it's taken on this verse here. We've been made. If we've been chosen before the foundation of the world, then in time, he came to us and started his work of sanctification, started making us holy, without blame before him in love. He's made us accepted in the Beloved, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse. Well, let's begin with verse 13. As it is written, back in Malachi chapter 1. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? What say you? Do you say because there are two, Jacob and Esau, and God loved Jacob, but he did not love Esau? Do you say that God is unrighteous in that? Why, even we men give ourselves more latitude than that. We give ourselves the latitude and the right of loving whom we will love and choosing them to love. But we want to set back and say, well, God can't do that. That's unrighteous for him to do that. Our verse says, God forbid. There's not unrighteousness with God in that. God is not unrighteous. He's the righteous one. We are the unrighteous. He is the just one. We are unjust, not God. For he saith to Moses this, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It is his right as the sovereign creator of heaven and earth to do as he pleases, and to love one and to hate the other, to choose mercy on some and not on others, to have compassion on some and not others as well. Back to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, and you hath he quickened. Who has he quickened? Who is he talking about here? Well, obviously, we have to go back to chapter 1 to find that out. You understand this is one letter. The book of Ephesians is one letter. There's no chapter division. This is a poor place to put a chapter division at a conjunction and. So we go back to chapter 1, and you have to go up to verse 18 to see who the subjects are. In verse 18 it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, to those who are saints, to those who have had their eyes enlightened. So he's talking about those who were chosen before the foundation of the world to be made holy and without blame by Christ Jesus, and have been made accepted in the Beloved. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. Those are who he's talking about. And you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That is the condition we were found in. That is that deplorable and despicable condition that we were found in, that we are found in. Every man finds himself in it. Every man that is born of woman finds himself there, just as Jerusalem's beginning was deplorable and despicable. So was every man's beginning. Deplorable and despicable. God has loved some of those, and chose them unto salvation. Verse 4. What God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That is his love. It is as a spring, and flowing forth from that spring is grace, mercy, and all the benefits that we as children of God reap because he loved us eternally. He loved us with an eternal love. Even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, he says. Turn with me to the book of Titus. The book of Titus in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look with me here at verse 3. For we ourselves also, we that are saved. He's telling Titus, we that are saved also were sometimes foolish. We're before times. Before we were saved. Before we were made alive in Christ Jesus, in our time, we were foolish. What's the foolish do? Deny God. I'm going my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. Who's this God you speak of? Oh, God doesn't exist. How was you and I before God saved us? We may not have been so bold to say God doesn't exist, but we were so bold as to go and do our own thing, not giving God thought. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's who we were. That's who we were. Boy, you see why it's so appalling to see Christians, so-called, behave in that manner today? Boy, I've seen some Christians behave in a hateful manner to other Christians. Not good. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Praise God, the manifestation of God's love appeared to me. You can say the same if the manifestation of God's love appeared to you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. We had none. We were deplorable and despicable. In fact, as Ephesians 2:1 says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And Jerusalem was as good as dead if God hadn't come to them in mercy and in grace. Not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. All those things in verse 5. He said that on us abundantly. He said the works of salvation upon us abundantly. And especially his mercy. We've already talked about his mercy overflowing, and his mercies are new every morning. They're overflowing. They've overflowed today. And in the morning, if I awake, they'll be there. Because faithful is God. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope. Notice this. According to the hope of eternal life. Of eternal life. We've already defined eternal for you. Same word, everlasting, eternal, no beginning, no ending. You see, as far as God is concerned, because He loved us, and His love is eternal, no beginning, no ending, we've had eternal life. We've had life with no beginning and no end. But as the verse has said, in our time, His love was made manifest, and it appeared unto us by the power of His Holy Spirit in regenerating us. Well, we have to quit there tonight. We're